Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio, connecting life to faith.
We're just trying to get it together, trying to help their fellow man, hoping we can make it better. Do you really think we can?
Yeah, here we are. It's Tuesday night, and we are back on Blog Talk Radio. Tuesday, May 17, 2016. And I'm coming to you from Laramie, Wyoming, where I'm visiting with my son, Chandler. And it is gusting outside up to 40 miles an hour. And around temperature 36, 7, somewhere in there, and snowing. May 17, my birthday, no less. And here we are doing Blog Talk Radio because the show must go on. That's what my CEO tells me, who happens to be my wife. And our show will go on tonight, and it will go on with a very, very special and unusual guest. I'm really looking forward to this, but of course, I haven't found a Blog Talk Radio show yet that I wasn't looking forward to. So, and I hope you will start scrolling down. We have got tons of shows now. And we have got some incredible guests talking very candidly and openly about all kinds of subjects. And you have so much here you've got to take advantage of. Because honestly, I don't know where you find talk like this, at least in the Christian community, very, very, very much of it, and I really hope that you'll take advantage of what we're doing here on The Catch and in Blog Talk Radio. Now, let me tell you, tonight is special. We have a gentleman named Jeff Lockett who's going to be our guest. I'm going to call him in just a few minutes. I want to tell you first about his wife, Kelly, who we met at Isaiah House. And many of you who have been with us for a few years know about our work at Isaiah House. And it's a home for homeless women in Santa Ana. And we've worked with them for some time and had some incredible experiences working with these really great ladies. And one of them is Kelly, and her husband is Jeff. And they were on the streets when we met them, not even near each other, not able to be together. Life was difficult. Life has always been difficult. But now, through a few steps and some miracles, they actually are under a roof. They have an apartment. They've been living together for almost a year now. It's month to month, day to day, but still together. And they're making it right now. And I'm going to have Jeff be our guest because I think, you know, we have experts talking about homeless. We have regular people talking about homeless. How many people are homeless talking about homeless? I don't know how much we get to hear from the people themselves. And I think we have a lot to learn here. And I know I still do quite a bit. So I'm looking forward to tonight. So here we go. Let me see. If this is going to work, I'm going to try and get Jeff on the phone. I love this. I love calling people up. Of course, this is not a total surprise. Hopefully, he's waiting for our call, but let's just wait and see here. This is John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio. I hope you're going to be with us, and I hope Jeff picks up.
Hello.
You will see. Jeff.
Yes.
It's John Fisher, and you're on Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing fine.
I am doing fine, too. And I was telling the folks that I'm in Laramie, where it's snowing right now, and 30 degrees. Tell me, what's it like where you are in Anaheim, California? Pretty nice? Pretty nice right now?
Actually, it's pretty overcast.
Oh, yeah?
Pretty overcast, though.
Yeah.
Which makes it a little bit cooler out here now.
Okay. Well, Jeff, I told
everybody a little bit about how we met, and how we met Kelly first through Isaiah
right.
House, and then we came to get to know you, and how you've both been homeless for some time and separated from each other, and life has been really tough. And yet you're in a season right now where at least day to day you've been able to be under a roof and together. We're so happy about that. But I know that, I know that it is a month to month existence. And I just want to ask you a few questions, Jeff, because
okay.
I think we all have a lot to learn here. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Let's hear just a little bit about, where your story, where were you born? Give us a kind of a really quick version of Jeff Locke and how he got to be where he is right now.
All right. Well, I was born in Oceanside, California, San Diego,
okay.
Camp Pendleton area. My father was in the service. And pretty much grew up in L.A. County. And then I decided to move out here to Orange County, me and my wife and I. And where I, traveled around different cities trying to find a basic place for me to settle down. Well, eventually I found a homeless shelter, Salvation Army, and was able to stay there for a while and actually got hired to be an employee for the Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun at times, but, when you're dealing with 64 different personalities, it can be kind of hectic, But
yeah.
with myself, it was, I learned how to put all my problems in the back burner so I can, deal with those who needed more
mm-hmm.
of my attention,
mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot from a lot of people, different problems, people from different backgrounds and how they survived. And it kind of helped me, though, but I don't know, in a sense... instead of, taking care of Jeff, I was more concerned about that, which led to a lot of problems,
mm-hmm.
So.
Were you and Kelly together, able to be together at that time? Was that?
Well, she was hired on as the full-time cook for the hospitality house. Salvation Army.
Okay.
And then, she did the cooking and I did more of the intake security aspect of the job.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we were there together, but they had me work in graveyard and, she cooked. So when she's coming off shift, I'm getting off shift to go lay down. And basically
yeah.
the only time we had together was like 15 minutes here and there.
Well, what happened to that job for both of you?
Well, in my case, it was a mental illness. I've been suffering from mental illness since I was 6 years old. And like I said before, you know, putting my problems in the background and dealing with others, I didn't have time to really concentrate on myself. And as time went by, it got progressively worse, to the point where the administration felt that I was a liability and might have been able to hurt somebody, so they had to let me go, which caused me to become homeless.
Wow. And what about Kelly?
Kelly was able to stay there too, but in her case, I think it was her mental illness wasn't as noticeable. It was more alcohol. It was the way she was able to cope with it. So, and then of course, when I left, you know, she wanted to go, and I didn't want her to actually be out there in the streets with me, though, but. That being the wife, she wanted to go. So we compromised, and she was able to go to Isaiah's house.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when I first met you, Jeff, you were still doing something with the Salvation Army house. Weren't you when I met you? Or...
I was on the streets, but I started to go to decided to take a trade. So
yes.
I decided to go to a school to
there
be an alcohol and drug counselor.
Yes, yes, and you worked really hard at that.
Yeah, I was going to the school, but also was staying out on the streets too. So that was kind of difficult, you know. Trying to where put your clothing somewhere and having it clean, and then able to try to keep yourself clean and everything. And then go to school, then do the homework and stuff like that. But I was able to do it. That was a trying time.
Yeah,
but I was able to. I finished school. I did an intern for a mental health drop-in center in Santa Ana, and I graduated.
Wow.
Graduated with a degree for alcohol and drug counseling. Now, the only problem with that was, you know, a lot of the jobs that they had were pretty much live-in jobs where I couldn't have my wife with me. So that kind of put a damper on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Plus, it was, you know, cities away from where I was based at. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to do it as much as I wanted to.
Yeah. Is there something that keeps you, you know, what about these people who say, you know, about homeless, they say, well, you know, just get a job. They make it so easy, you know, just get a job.
It's not easy.
What do you have to say about that?
It's not easy, and I tell people being homeless is not an evil thing. It's not a criminal thing. It's just sometimes these things happen. You might, you know, have a good job and everything's going good for you, but then, you know, an illness might happen. You might get in financial debt, and it just builds to the point where you're not able to keep it, so you become on the streets. But it's not a bad thing, though, you know.
Yeah.
But people who are homeless also have an option of not being homeless. And trying to do some of the things that I had done is like one of them is trying to go to school and learn a trade or something. It's not easy, but it can happen.
Okay.
It can happen.
Now, you have a degree as a counselor, drug and alcohol counselor. What is keeping you from being able to use that degree in some way?
Well, like I said, one of the things are is a lot of the sober living homes that they're having problems with out here in the county. Those are, in my opinion, not, to me, it's not really good because you really don't have the right people there to oversee and guide you. But also, too, in my case of having mental illness, you know, it would be kind of hard on me to try to deal with other people's issues while I'm trying to deal with mine. So that's
with yours.
One of the reasons trying to keep me from going out there and doing it.
Yeah. Now, has your particular mental illness, is it something that's been identified?
My illness?
Yes.
Yeah, my illness is I'm schizoaffective, which means I have the traits of a schizophrenic.
Wow. And I know Kelly deals with severe depression. Is that right?
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, how do you guys survive? How do you
do it? I think having each other, it helps a great deal because we both can identify when one's having a bad day or get ready to have a bad day. Two, we found support with the Anaheim Mental Health, which has doctors and caseworkers. They have classes that deal with coping skills, anger issues, different things that can work with you to help you kind of like ease your day, you know. And plus, there's the Bible too in prayer, you know. And having good people around you instead of having negative. In my case, go ahead.
No, go. You go.
Do
ahead.
It?
In your
okay.
In
yeah.
Your faith.
You know, in my case, sometimes having a negative around me makes me think that maybe I should do better so I don't have to, you know, stick around the negative. Don't want to be around it no more. So I always try to find something positive, you know, reading, listening to music, playing my guitar, taking walks.
Yeah. You mentioned, I'm glad you brought up, you brought up the spiritual aspect of the Lord and of the Bible. And how has that helped you? How does that work into your life experience, your relationship with God?
Well, I always was known about the faith since I was a child. And whenever something bad happens or you know, things like that, I always, you know, I used to blame God, you know, why are you letting this happen? But then there was always a purpose, you know. It's sort of like a parent letting the child learn, you know. You might do something, but you got to let them learn, you know, before you can understand. Well, that's the same, you know, with me and the Lord. And so finally I started saying, okay, God, this is your will, you know. I'm just going to let you guide me instead of me telling you what I want to do and just doing it. Since I have done that, things have gotten a little bit better.
Wow. That's a pretty big deal right there.
Well, you have to have faith and you have to believe. You know, you cannot give up.
So, you know, has that been a real? Would you say that your faith has been a real practical through your experience?
Yeah, it has gotten me through some hard times. You know, like I say, when I lost my mother, you know, that was really hard time for me, but you know, knowing her faith was strong to the end.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Are you still there? Jeff? Well, folks, I think we somehow we lost him. So let me see if I can get Jeff back on the phone here. Hang on. I'm going to try this one more time. Don't go away. This is Blog Talk Radio, and we're calling Jeff back. Interesting stuff, huh?
Sorry about that. I think I hit the wrong button on the phone.
That's all right. Not the first time.
Yeah.
Not at all. Yeah. Well, you know, do you find that sometimes do you get attitude from people sometimes can other people bring you down? Does that ever happen? And what do you do about that?
I have since we've been in our apartments, there's been people out in the homeless community that knows me that
mm-hmm.
you know they don't want to see people do good. You know,
really?
They figure, well, you should be back out here. You know, why, you know, are you somewhere else? You know, when you've met more out here. Well, I tell them because I don't want to be out there no more. And if there's people out there that are willing to help you, then why not let them help you? I'm not knocking nobody who wants to be homeless though, but you know, I like to wake up in the morning, you know, and sit at my dining room table and have a cup of coffee, you know, and know where my property's at. But you know, with the homeless, it's just there's a lot of anger too, because whatever issues they have, you know, especially with families will only come out and see you if, you know, holidays or you call and ask for some financial help. But I know of a case where one guy's mom and dad used to come out there once a week and tell us, if you have a home you can come to, why you choose to be out here? You know, and they're like in their 80s, but they come out there and they don't yell at them, nothing like that. They're patient with them. You know, it's like they talked to me one time. They said, I guess when he's ready to come home, he'll come home. But in my case, you know, if there's an opportunity to better yourself and get yourself off the street, then I tell people to do it. There's organizations and people out there who would love to get you off the feet to make you feel almost human again, you know, and that you're not worth dust, but you're a human being, and you can succeed at doing what you know you do. Because I know people out there who are truck drivers, who are paramedics, were doctors, and things happen, but they can get off the streets. They can get off the streets. All they have to do is ask and pray on it, and God will deliver.
Wow,
He will deliver.
What's it like? What's it like having your place? What's it like? You know, what's it like having a roof over your head after so long without it?
I tell you, it's joyous, but for like the first. I have to say, the first 90 days, I was still getting up at a certain time where I used to get up on the streets. You know, I used to have to get up 3:30 in the morning, so I'm still catching myself getting up at 3:30 in the morning. But it feels good to be able to wake up and look around and say, this is my home. To walk outside, go to the store and come back and no door, hey, you have a key. You can open up the door, you know. You can invite people to come over and to enjoy what you have and maybe give them encouragement, you know. I've done that plenty of times, not to just throw it in somebody's face, but to say, hey, this is what I did. And actually, it's worked out because I have four friends of mine from the streets who are living in the complex here because me telling, hey, you know, this organization can help, is helping me, they can help you. And I have four people there, and my wife is loving it. You know, she could take her shoes off. She could take a shower. She can cook. That's her passion to cook. So, it's a blessing. And it's nice people here. That's what I like about it. You know,
that's great.
So, I tell a lot of people, they can do it. It can be hard at times.
I'm sure. Tell me. From your perspective, you know, there are lots of good people who really want to help. There are people who want to help people who are homeless, but sometimes they don't know what to do or how to do it. Have you got any advice to give to people like that? I mean, what kind of help do homeless people really need? What would you say?
Basically, they just need somebody that they can talk to, that they can, you know, somebody that's not going to be afraid of them because of their venting. The giving of the clothing and hygiene stuff, that goes a long way. But in my opinion, they need somebody just to listen. Just to listen and then to try to maybe give up a little bit of their experience, you know. But the main thing is to listen. And when you listen to the stories, you'll see in between the lines what they really need. You know, everybody's story is different. That's why you just need to listen. And when you listen, you get a deeper appreciation for, you know, what humans are going through in life. Sometimes I get mad at maybe somebody at the supermarket, and I tell them, so you know what, you can be standing in line at the county building, you know. Nothing is forever. It's wrong. That's just me sometimes getting upset. But then I have people say, hey, you know, thanks for listening to me. And I don't even know who these people are. I haven't met them. But I have a lot of people that tell me these things. I guess these are probably clients from the from the hospitality house, and it makes me feel good. So the main thing is just to listen. You know.
That's
the main thing.
That's fantastic. Any advice as to what not to do?
Don't patronize the person. You know, don't say, I understand what you're going through unless you've really been there.
Yeah.
Unless you have family members who are or who've been through mental health, drugs, or whatever it is. But just to agree and say, yeah, I understand, sometimes that will send the person off the deep end. So it's just, I don't know, it's just try not to... In other words, don't enable them too much. And what I mean by that, like, you know, I'm closer to the Civic Center over here in Santa Ana. So I know they feed sometimes 5-6 times a day. You know, there's only so much you can eat, in a sense. But this, the enabling and the promises, I would do this and do that and don't do it. Homeless people don't really take that too well. They learn to expect it. So
yeah.
But just listen to the person, look him in the eye, call him by his first name, or if you want to be formal, call him by his last name if he gives it to you, he or she, and just enjoy your time with them. You'd be amazed at the stories they have. Some of them are some of them are pretty good.
Do some people choose, and I hear some people want to be homeless. I mean, if they were given a way out, would they maybe not take it? Are there some people like that?
Well, there are people out there who get checks or have family that are well to do, but yet they choose to be on the street because they don't have bills to pay. They don't have to answer to nobody. And then let's see, what do you get on the streets? Well, you get free legal, you get free medical, you know, you get free clothes and hygiene. So a lot of them choose to not want to go indoors. You know, some have been out there. I know some have been out there over 25 years.
Wow.
You know, so, and they're so set on being out there that you can't really talk them out of. Something very bad has to happen for them to kind of get it, that, hey, maybe I should go inside, you know. But
wow.
Yeah, a lot of them just don't like to do it.
Well, that's a great message, though. Listen, and it all comes back to relationships, doesn't it? It really comes down to that. Having real relationships with people. And giving them, would you say giving them dignity and worth and value?
Right.
For their humanity?
Right. A lot of that, you know, you have to treat the person with respect and kindness. Show some compassion. And you can be firm. There's nothing wrong with being firm. But I think a lot of those will help. A lot of those actions will help a lot of people.
Wow.
And even some of those who are doing well can learn from experiences from others. Maybe that will help them find a way around some of the problems. And, you know, and say, oh, well, I heard this. That sounds like a good idea with this person. He has said, you know, that's it. So, yeah, everything helps everybody.
Wow. Jeff,
yes,
this
indeed.
Has been fantastic. I want to thank you. And it's been great to just touch base with you. And I love your perspective. And I just hope you and Kelly can keep that roof over your heads. And
we'll try.
I'm just, yeah.
We take it day by day. But something always happens, and something for the better. So you know, something else, we just keep on living.
Well, Jeff, hang in there. Know we love you, and you take care, okay? Thanks for sharing
with
us.
John.
I appreciate it
so
much.
Not a problem, buddy.
Give our love to Kelly. Okay?
I will, and you have a good birthday with your son, okay?
All right.
Thank
you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Wow. How about that, folks? Man. You know what's amazing to me? How many times we have heard the same message. I think I heard it from Tony Campolo. I think I heard it from Frank Schaefer. I think I heard it from Oz Guinness. Why is the same? And now we're hearing it from a homeless person. What's the message? Listen. Gosh, isn't that amazing? Across the board, the message is listen, care about people, open your heart, open your life to them. Treat them like real people because they are. Don't patronize. Appreciate. Love. Be accepting. And suddenly, hey, we're all in the same camp, aren't we? Suddenly, it's not not all these divisions in these different places. We're all needy, and we all want someone to care, and we all need to care for someone ourselves and to listen and to get involved. Well, now you heard it from a homeless person tonight, and we'll hear it from someone else next week, I'm sure. Thanks for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, it's a gospel of welcome, and that is grace turned outward. And we're turning this grace. We got the grace for ourselves. It's grace that we turn out to everyone else. And that's the way we're going to make the world a better place. So God bless you. John.